Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Robert Nicolesco.
And today is October 4th, 2021. And it's October! Hooray!
Halloween season.
Yay! It's our favorite time of year. Well, it's my favorite time of year. Is it your favorite time of year?
I mean, definitely.
Sweet!
I don't know. I used to feel magic during a lot of holidays. Mm-hmm. The only one I still feel it is on Halloween. It's just like there's like a... something in the air.
There is.
I still feel that. Yeah, it's definitely the best.
I would say the leaves are turning brown, but everything is just brown around here. So.
Yeah, we live in a desert.
We do live in the desert now.
A recent desert.
But we already are putting decorations up. We did a whole horror display at the store. We have two of them, actually.
Nice.
And at the brew, we're all decorated at Ghost Town, of course, already. So if you want to come look at spooky decorations, come there and have a beer and sit with Skelly. He is our skeleton.
He has a skullet?
He has a skullet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Well, we have a beer named Skullet, so, you know, we have to have a skeleton that goes with
to
it.
To honor the great skullet.
To honor the great haircut. Skullet. It's the best.
Ooh. Apologies if you have a skullet.
Yeah, sorry.
Audience.
If you do, shave that shit.
Just shave it
off.
It's nice.
It is.
Unless cool. You're the guy from that one band, Strapping Young Lad. What's that guy's name?
I have no idea. He
kind of embraced it for a long time.
Oh.
And would perform. He's a strange one, though. So.
Or if you're a cast member of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
You can embrace that one,
Or like a graveyard ghoul or something.
Well, yes.
Doesn't one of the horror hosts, the EC horror hosts, have a skullet?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Wait.
No, that's no. The other guy. That's... the other company.
What, Creepshow?
It was one of the other horror hosts, like a Warren horror host or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the slender man with the long hair skullet.
Right.
But this is not the Skullet Podcast.
No. This is the Escapist Comics Podcast. Did we mention that?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe.
I was just so excited to talk about Halloween. Do you have a costume picked out yet?
No. We've talked about... I actually don't remember what we talked about. There's been a lot of ideas bandied about. None that were like, yes.
No Werewolf Jones?
I mean, that would be good. Mm-hmm. That would be very nice. I did draw him the other day.
You did?
It's Inktober, yeah. So I've got to draw new stuff every day. Mm-hmm. No. I've thought about doing Beetlejuice for a long time, but I don't know.
I did that one 2 years ago.
Oh, you were Beetlejuice?
I was Beetlejuice. I was Victorian age Beetlejuice.
Cool.
Everyone
okay.
hated me at the brewery because I had a giant circle skirt and I just kept knocking glasses over.
Yes, that would... I could... That's a legitimate one.
It is. But it looks great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But this year I'm doing Barbarella.
Okay, cool.
So... I'm not going to have a lot of clothes on, but it'll look cool.
And you'll have a gun.
And I will have a ray gun.
In case anyone wants mm-hmm. to mess with you.
It's true, yeah.
Yes.
She also has like 5 different costumes, but I'm doing the doll eating scene.
Yeah, not the plastic see-through chest piece?
No, not that one. I wanted to do that one, but apparently that's really hard to find.
Oh,
they don't make those? Unless you have like a 3D printer, but I haven't invested in that yet.
Be a large... printer,
yeah. Yeah.
Good use of it though.
Yeah.
Of a few grand. Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe in the future when I'm rich and famous.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Then you can have a whole Barbarella like room.
just
where you just
for
attach yourself on wires and then like guys wearing, you know, like black body suits, like fly you around the room.
No, oh, yeah. I can have a hawk guy of my own.
Yeah.
That's in that movie, right?
I don't know. It's been like a long time.
I'm pretty sure there is.
It's been a long time, but Jane Fonda.
Hell yeah, Jane Fonda. She's an awesome lady.
Awesome lady. Oh, yeah.
Still looks great.
Still looks very good. Mm-hmm. She's like 77 or something.
Something like that.
I don't understand how that works.
So for our corrections corner, we just need to shout out real quick to Sherwin. Sherwin, thanks for listening. Morpheus lives.
Yeah.
Apparently in Matrix Matrix, what's the last movie called? The third Matrix.
Revolutions.
Yeah, I think that's the right.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll call it that. Yeah, Resurrection's the newest one. Yeah. Do they all start with R? Is that going to be a thing? Okay.
Yeah, Reloaded.
Reloaded, and then, yeah, Revolution.
So. Yeah. The other ones are kind of cool names. Reloaded is very 2003.
Yes, absolutely.
Like the most 2003.
Extreme! Matrix Extreme, Reloaded.
Yeah. Edgelords Reloaded. Yeah.
So, yeah, he let us know that Morpheus is still alive. Apparently, I need to rewatch that movie. Yeah. Or not. I don't know.
Yeah, we incorrectly said that he had died during the events of the Matrixing of the world.
Sure. Well, could they unplug him?
I don't even remember the third one. I mean, I've seen it once in 2004.
Well, yeah, they definitely unplug. I don't know. He told us, and I think I already forgot. Why?
I've rewatched Reloaded. Yeah. I liked that on a rewatch. I have not gone back to the third one, but probably before that new one.
Yeah.
I think a full trilogy rewatch. I'm okay with that.
I mean, I saw the first one in theaters. They did the 20th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Which made me feel super old. But I saw it in IMAX, and that was cool.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm sure. Everyone just like threw popcorn at the screen and like laughed. So that was good.
It's not a very funny movie, but. It's
no,
cool.
But you get to make, I mean, it's, you know, Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
I do know Kung Fu. Yeah.
Right?
And now he does, like, for real, yeah. It seems like.
He's John Wicking it.
Yeah. Is he going to, like, he'll bring some of that in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's excited to bring that in. Okay. Also, the premiere is going to be in San Francisco.
Cool.
Possibly Oakland. That would be so cool if it was like at the Grand Lake Theater.
The Grand Lake or something. Yeah. I mean, they shot most of it in San Francisco, so
yeah,
that would make sense that it's in the Bay Area, though.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's probably going to be able to go to Metreon or something, I'm sure, but...
Yeah.
It could be at the Paramount.
Sure.
Yeah. They've done
premieres
there.
Probably a Metreon. That's the huge... I mean, you can do the IMAX screen and stuff.
Yeah. What else is going on in your world? What did you do this weekend?
I went to the SF MoMA, going back to the museum. That was great. There was an abstract art exhibit. And, you know, I kind of had that sort of opinion of abstract art that many people do, where it's like, what's the point of this? You get some little splatters and some things. And I've seen some abstract art that I thought was good, and then a lot that I thought was like, I don't know, somewhat pretentious or whatever.
Was it like a square, a red square in the middle
There's definitely that. Oh, I was so, so, so thrilled because actually it was three canvases, all white.
No.
And yeah, oh, yeah.
Was it three different colors of
no,
white?
No. No. It was the, like you see it in a cartoon,
right.
Like pretentious art gallery exhibit where it's like, it's three shades of white. It was one shade of white, and it's like, it's a shade of white to represent the neutrality. And it's like, I should have taken a picture of the placard
right.
pretentiously explaining why this hangs there, right? So that, I mean, I love that because I was like laughing at all of that.
Of course.
Vast majority of it, though, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, there was very few things where I was like, what?
Right.
What are we doing with this?
Yeah.
Like, I actually like connected with a lot of things, and it was all things that actually were supposed to be real things.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was this one piece that was just chaos, and I'm like staring at it forever, and I'm like, this is crazy looking. And then I read it's called Stampede, and so it's like I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, it does look like a stampede, like actually occurring, you know? So I think I like where there's some sort of realism, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look like that, but
yeah.
does.
I get it. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I've been to the MoMA several times over the years, obviously, and I remember one time just there was just a trash can and just had a pile of trash in it. And it was like, I don't remember, but I remember reading later, they're like, and this sold for $1.2 million.
Sure,
and I was like, but it was literally just a pile of trash
in
a trash can.
I mean, there is like, you know, that weird thing that occurs, especially looking at all that, where I'm like, oh, it's all art now. Like, because I'm like looking at the, like, it's like the door in the wall where they hide the fire extinguisher. And I'm like, what is this piece called? Like, you can do that with anything,
right.
Kind of. Like, after a certain point, it's like the sign on the bathroom door. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, is this art or is this just a functional piece?
Yeah, it does kind of get to that point. But, I mean, overall, I felt like pretty enriched by the whole experience.
That's good.
It was cool. Yeah. And I am now ready to take on more abstract art.
Good.
Yeah.
All good. I'm glad you got that experience.
Growth.
Yes. Yeah, I always feel bad after I leave a book. Was I supposed to understand more?
Yeah.
Or, do I just love comics?
Yeah. I mean, abstract, we got abstract comics. Sienkiewicz is bringing tons of abstraction into his comics. Though they are still intended to, like, you know, be read and you know what you're looking at.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
It's just abstracted.
Right. Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of stuff from Image or Dark Horse or whatever, you know, more independent stuff, too, that comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like,
more
Frank.
Independent. Yeah, Frank, exactly.
Frank is, like, well, I mean, there's clearly a narrative.
Yeah.
But it's very abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, that brings us to the death of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Not very abstract, but...
All this, that's a great segue.
Yes. but, I mean, he's mystic. Some of that can be considered abstract, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm trying to bring it
sure.
in.
it's pretty normy view of abstraction, but yes.
I mean,
yes.
Maybe back in the 60s it was.
Yeah, maybe. Steve Ditko, who I don't think he did a lot of the drugs to see these other dimensions.
No, I don't think he did either. But I think his mind was already altered.
Probably staring at the board for that long.
Uh-huh.
You're going to go a little crazy.
Yep. He has some issues of his own.
Well, yeah, so does Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
He's dead.
He is dead.
That's an issue.
It is. I mean, I like this comic. It's been a while since I've liked a Marvel comic, or like have kept up with one anyways, except for Amazing Fantasy, which I really like. I know that you're kind of falling off on that one.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's, and it's
short.
Well,
they're all different. Yeah.
I
like the contained ones, and I mean, I don't need to follow through every comic. I like one where it does, like, where the first issue hooks me and makes me want to read some more.
Exactly.
And, I mean, Amazing Fantasy did do that
mm-hmm.
for me. There's been a couple, but, it's just... It just depends. It's hard. It's hard, especially with these characters continuing to be around. You have to make them fresh, but also not too different. Otherwise, they're not the character anymore.
Exactly.
Or they're not what people want from that character,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Right.
This is a very, like, Doctor Strange comic.
Yes. I like that the little ghost dog is in here, who he's cute. Doctor Strange doing Doctor Strange things. He's a surgeon, which I forgot they did that whole...
That his hands work again.
Yeah, his hands work again.
He's actually a surgeon, his first love.
Yes. They did that whole Surgeon Supreme storyline, right? So they're continuing with that. He's, like, basically just doing all of the things all of the time. He's just bouncing around.
Yeah, he says, I can't die, I'm too busy.
Right.
To the dog, and the dog's like, yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah. he's teaching at Strange Academy. He's fighting dark demons from other dimensions with Eliana. And then just kind of like, going through his like daily tasks like throughout the comic. I think it flowed, like, really well, too.
Yeah.
That's what was kind of, like, fun about it.
It read well and everything like that. I do like how he starts with the
Koschei,
the Deathless, which, I mean, it's kind of, at first you're like, okay, I'm just reading this, like, story about, like, an ancient myth or something, but obviously it ties into the whole story, which the Deathless put a small piece of himself in a needle and hid the needle in an egg and hid the egg in a duck and hid the duck in a rabbit and that rabbit in a chest, blah, 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 and buried it super deep so no one, so he could live forever as long as a piece of his soul maintains, you know, is still alive.
Right.
He somewhere. Can never die.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's definitely like foreshadowing like what's to come.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
So basically we know something bad's going to happen to Strange. And inevitably, it does.
Yeah, it says it on the cover.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler, anybody.
No spoilers.
This comic is called The Death of Dr. Strange.
And they get to it in the second half of the comic.
Yes, which I did appreciate also that it didn't just, like, end with, like, oh, now he's dead.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. So he gets stabbed, out of all things. And everyone kind of feels it.
Yeah, like, they know it the moment it happens. Mm-hmm. The world reacts. And it looks like the second he dies, either because he's dead, a bunch of crazy stuff started happening, or whoever killed him, that's part of their plan.
Right.
Right, where it's like, oh, the second the Sorcerer Supreme is gone, send it all in, you know, or whatever. So there's dimensional portals opening up. Well, Captain America's freaking out.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, he had all these wards, like, protecting Earth. And, like, once he died, everything kind of starts falling apart. And so, like, all of the mystics, Brother Voodoo, Wong, obviously, Ileana, they all start, Thor, like, everyone, like, feels the shift in it and, like, is like, oh, shit, some bad things are about to happen.
And then a lot of them show up right at the sanctum, but it's too late. He's dead.
Yeah.
Even, this is a very classic Marvel comic moment where to show how terrible and heinous this villain is, you have their antagonist be like, that was mine. I'll help you.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm so, like, I'm the one who's supposed to kill them. You know, it's like, how many times has Dr. Doom said that?
Right.
It's like, Richards will not be killed by another. Yes. I will be the one.
Yeah.
I'll save him so I can kill him.
Right. But you haven't done it yet, Doom. Yeah. You're so lame.
Or you, Mordo.
Right. Yeah, Mordo Get to in this it. Case. And then there's a big reveal that, you know, we foreshadowed in the beginning that, spoiler alert, everyone, that this came out like 2 weeks ago. So if you haven't read it yet, get on it.
And there's more issues.
So. Yeah, actually it's like next week. Is it next week or 2 weeks from now that the next issue comes out?
Okay.
10/20, so a couple weeks. Dr. Strange has hidden a piece of him.
Of his soul.
Of his soul. And this other Dr. Strange, like, pops out of another dimension, and here he is.
Early Doctor Strange.
Early Doctor Strange, yeah.
Looks Blue like, Cape Doctor Strange.
So the Ditko Doctor Strange is back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The original cape. He doesn't have a sentient cape, as far as I can tell. And yeah, he's got the crazy gloves and stuff.
Yeah, like the Ditko Dot gloves. And then, but the sentient cape is, like, lying there, so if he wants, he can just pick it up.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess
the cape will help him out.
Yeah. Why is the cape just, like, lying there with his corpse?
Yeah.
Should the cape be,
just, like, fly off?
The cape should have, like, told somebody.
Right? Goddamn cape. Yeah. Didn't even help out.
I thought you were a reliable piece of outerwear.
Apparently not. Well, whoever killed him was obviously stronger than all of his magic. Including the cape.
Yeah. Well, that was The Death of Dr. Strange.
Oh, yeah. And it was by Jed McKay and Lee Garbey and Antonio Fabella.
All right.
So, yeah, the art, and also the art was really good. I like Lee Garbey. He's been doing some good work for a while now.
And the A cover, I think it's the A cover. Yeah, the regular cover is Kari Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing Fantasy.
Who I really love.
And doing I like I do like the cover.
Mm-hmm. Cover's great. Cool skull on it and everything.
It's pretty, it's like Cthulhu, Doctor Strange or something.
Yeah, he's even taken a Cthulhu foot bath at one point.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure Doctor Strange has tea with Cthulhu regularly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That guy's wild.
We'll talk about it later, but Cthulhu seems to come up a lot in a What If. Lots of...
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, strangely, H.P. Lovecraft is more in the zeitgeist than he's ever been.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like,
just huge, huge, huge. It's everywhere. It's way more than just plushy Cthulhus.
Oh, yeah, which is so bizarre when you think about H.P. Lovecraft.
Just depicting Cthulhu, you're not supposed to.
No. Next up, and came out last week, I believe, Patrick Kinlan and Marco Ferrari, Frontiersman, number one from Image Comics. Yep, okay.
Frontiersman. Or The Ethics of Environmentalism.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yes, I tried. There are pieces of this that I do like, but overall, this is not...
Yeah.
The comic for me.
It's not the comic for me either. And I really wanted to like this comic because I'm for the environment.
Of course.
Obviously.
Captain Planet was my first superhero. And I'm still like, Captain Planet should just be on TV constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Reinvent him every year for the next generation.
Uh-huh.
And just, because it really did, like, as a little kid, teach me, like, yeah, recycling.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And love Captain Planet. Also, art is good.
Yeah.
This guy's art. Excellent. Marco Ferrari, good job. I'm guessing you're Italian. I like these Italian artists. I have an Italian artist on my comic. I'm just trying to think of pros
you're,
here.
You're Italian?
I'm Italian. You're Italian?
I'm not.
You're not Italian? Oh, shit.
I'm not, but sure.
Sounds like an Italian last name.
You know, I mean, no, Romanian.
Romanian. Okay,
but,
well.
You know, it doesn't matter now because Norwegians can play Italians.
It's true.
That is a reference to Mr. Chris Pratt being cast as Mario. But,
boo! We'll get into that later.
We'll get that later. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm sorry for ruining your heritage.
No. Nothing wrong with Italians. They're passionate. But that's a stereotype, so I'm sorry.
It's true.
No, I know it is. I know.
It was the way you talk with their hands. I'm like, you're obviously Italian.
Yeah. No, yeah, Romanians also talk with their hands. That is true. Mm-hmm. Negoesco.
Yeah.
Negoesco.
Sounds Italian. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. All right, so the hardest part for me... the comic, besides just the lots of words, because sometimes, you know, words flow and it's okay.
Yes.
It just was really boring.
Yes. That's in my notes as well.
Yeah. So the basic is that this guy was a superhero, kind of like in the essence of Black Hammer, or which he actually talks about in his column in the back. He's like an aging superhero.
Yeah. He used to be the Frontiersman.
Yeah.
Who has like a coonskin hat and stuff, which I can't tell if he like supposed to have been lame?
I don't know. They didn't really make that clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, I couldn't tell whether it's like, oh, okay, this guy's supposed to be cool and I just think it's totally lame, or is it supposed to kind of be like, Yeah, he was like a kind of a lamer superhero,
he's like a
C-list.
Crockett.
But he'd be like a C-lister or something, right? Like,
I guess. I don't think, I mean, he looks like he's like dispatching people like quite a bit, so maybe not.
I don't know. He's got some sort of dragon staff in this one panel. There's a couple flashback panels that kind of show him when he was at his peak as a superhero.
Right, which I think they needed more of in this issue. To, like, show me who this guy was and, like, what he did, and less of just this babbling about environmentalists and what...
The state of environmentalism.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I said that at the beginning. Like, that it could just be The Ethics of Environmentalism.
Right.
That's the title of this comic.
That's what it is. And that's what he's explaining throughout this entire thing. I just was like, I get it. I get that we have these issues in this world. And I know that, I feel that you're passionate about it. Like, I don't, I have no qualms about that.
No, and I would read a book about this. I would read an actual book, you know, that is called The Ethics of Environmentalism.
Sure.
But I don't think comics is, or a superhero comic is the format.
Right.
For me, like, maybe they can make this work as this keeps going, but as this is, yeah, I don't... It just, like, split... I get the whole, like, let's mix superhero with something I'm passionate about, but what I think happened here is, like, it just split the whole thing so that the superhero stuff is not cool,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to hear what you have to say because I'm bored.
Right, exactly.
About... Whereas, like, I do want to know about this stuff, and, like, there is some interesting things that were brought up, like, oh, he's like, I thought the next generation, you know, is really about the environment, and she's like... The person who shows up is like, listen, half of them are going to be driving, like,
mm-hmm.
SUVs. They're all going to give this up. Like, they're not going to... They're just going to do the same thing. And it's...
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was like, oh, that might be the main point here that
right.
I got out of this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I liked that scene. That was good. And, like, yes, put more, like, of that in it. Or just, like, a page of that. But don't just fill pages of lots of words and lots of word bubbles with... Like, stuff about the law and, like, Obama and under... Like, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It just... Like, while you're trying to introduce these characters at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it got very muddled very quickly.
Very. I mean, to me, like, a message story is general... Like, it's almost impossible to make that a good story. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, the way I create things, it's like I try to come up with a cool story... Then I notice that there's something real to be said in that story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you rewrite and rewrite and rewrite and hone that so that they both are there.
Right.
But I feel like when you... it feels like they started with environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's absolutely. Like, let's come up with an idea from that. And I just often think that that just doesn't work when you're... Like, you can make a story that says things, but it won't be entertaining. And if it's not entertaining, is the message...
Yeah, what is it? Yeah.
It's not going to get anywhere.
No. Yeah. And, like, maybe in the second issue, there'll be less of that. But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, from the backup stuff that he talks about, it doesn't feel like it will be...
It didn't read my... It wasn't my favorite.
No. And I feel bad because I like Patrick Kinlan and I liked some of his other books too. But this feels like this is his passion project and that's what he's going to go for. So, yep. I don't think this is going to do very well after this first issue.
But maybe we'll I'm see. Wrong. We'll maybe see. Maybe it'll be wrong. And yeah. Hey, look. Protect the environment, guys.
Yeah, but exactly. Protect the environment.
Recycle your comics.
Yes.
Give them to people.
Yes, absolutely. If you know somebody else who's super passionate about the environment and thinks this will be good for them, then recommend it
yeah.
to them.
Yeah. Because someone likes this. I guarantee someone does like this comic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right.
That was the Frontiersman.
That was the Frontiersman. Image Comics. All right, let's get into it. This is the big boy of the week.
Yes.
Or big lady.
Whatever. Big they, them.
Exactly. Inferno, number one, $5.99. It is many pages.
Yeah, it's a beefy comic.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Jonathan Hickman.
Mm-hmm.
Drawn by Valerio...
Shitty.
Mm-hmm. Color artist David Curiel.
All right. So this is Hickman's opus, as you will.
Yeah, so is he off?
This is it.
This is his last issue?
Oh, no. This is...
The Inferno arc is his final closing statement on the X-Men.
Right.
Got it.
Though, like, you look in the back and there's, like, it just doesn't say when the next one's coming out, which is odd, but...
Yeah. So, okay, he'll be writing the main Inferno
yes.
series, and then the other people will be doing the tie-ins. Do we know what he's doing after?
I do not know. Though, I did see pages of the new Black Monday murder.
Oh,
I think he's finally finishing that.
I would assume you'd go back to the creator own after
yeah.
you do, like, whatever, 3-4 years of...
X-Men, yeah.
Yeah, giant property and reinvent. It's like, now go do your own story.
Yeah, time to finish
I would hope.
My other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Black Monday Murders, it's been so long since they've finished, you know, since they started that. And yeah, I saw Tom putting out new pages on the Insta and Facebook. So I think he's finally finishing that, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. This is going to be a wild ride.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot.
I was confused the whole time. Mm-hmm. For you audience members, let me just say, I read some of House of X and Powers of X. I don't think I finished it, and then I have read no Jonathan Hickman X-Men since. So all my ignorance, it's because of that.
Okay. Yeah. And I read all of House of X and Powers of X. I read some of Hickman's X-Men. I read maybe a couple issues of the other stuff that came out, like Marauders and stuff.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Then I kind of fell off that train. I was like, this is too much. I have other things to read.
Oh, and I've read the new three issues of X-Men by Jerry Duggan.
I read none of that.
Which are... I still don't know what's going on at all, but they're like weird. It's like reading a weird sci-fi. Like, it's like coming into the middle of a sci-fi trilogy in the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how it feels to me. I'm like, I don't even know who these people are, like, anymore.
Well, they all have been reborn.
Reborn so. Many times.
It's like a reborn Christian thing at this point now. It's like a religious arc.
I wasn't thinking about any of that, but...
I have many times
now. I guess so.
All right. Well, let's get into this. It's all going to be confusing. We'll try to sort it out. I definitely got a lot of information from Wikipedia. Thanks, Wikipedia. If you get a chance, donate $3 to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
They need your help.
You use Wikipedia all the time.
You do. And it's only $3.
Like, you literally use it, like, every time you use the internet.
Yeah. You're like, need to look something up? Check it out.
Yeah.
I donate to them every few months or so, because I do use it for research for my comics and everything else.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So, we start out with our typical Jonathan Hickman fashion, where he gives you a bunch of words, a bunch of pages, and diagrams. What do they mean?
And quotes. And just quotes. All this, just, I don't know. I feel like the way I interpret these comics is, like, very little, like, sense of humor about the whole thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They take themselves very serious. Mm-hmm. Which makes them even more ludicrous to me. Like, how they start with these really elaborate opening quotes from, like, Nova.
Right.
And Omega Sentinel. Like, mm-hmm. a quote from the Omega Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right. Someone remembers. It's, like, it's like, why they keep coming,
like
Omega Sentinels.
Yeah, like, you're quoting Nietzsche or something. It's like, yeah, this is like a, you know, a Malcolm X quote or something. It's like, they're presented like that, though. Uh-huh. And I'm like... Got it. The Omega Sentinel.
Yeah.
Big deal.
He's a big deal. He's going to murder everybody.
Nova. Big deal.
Exactly.
I think that was X-Men 1 or something. Nova quote.
Who takes Nova seriously? All right. So let's just get to the Orcus events. We're just going to skip right to that one. So there's all these mutant incursions. And basically, they're just like the Orcus is running parameters and like seeing what's going to fail. These like mission parameters.
And what is the Orcus?
It's a good question.
That's a genuine question.
Orcus is like a giant computer, basically, that Forge built.
Oh, okay.
If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. This is what my brain remembers.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure.
Cool. I like Forge.
Right. And I'm guessing that just because it says the Orcus Forge.
There's an Orcus map here.
Yeah.
It has a network of weapon platforms, a Venus sphere, which is their early warning system. Oh, those are the watchtowers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Sentinel City, heavy metal mining, and master mold super factory. Wait, what?
Okay, here we go.
What are the Sentinels now?
What are the Sentinels now? I think it's the one that Nimrod built. The Sentinels that Nimrod built.
So Orcus was built...
Okay, hold on. Here we go. Let's just go. The Orcus Forge was a space station built by Orcus, never mind, from salvaged remains of Sol's hammer.
Okay.
Forget everything I just said. They retrofitted it into a site for the creation of Mother Mold, an artificial intelligence developed to fight against mutant kind. A strike force of X-Men led by Cyclops successfully destroyed... the Mother Mold with heavy casualties on both sides.
Was that before? Or is that in the Hickman stuff?
That was in the Hickman. Yeah, House of X number 3, House of X number 4.
Okay.
However, though, they're using the Orcus, so I don't really, get that. Because it's running all these mission parameters for them. Because, okay, well.
Yeah, it has a telepathic buoy system. I just wanted to bring that up. And more of that, please.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, anyways.
There's a list of the Orcus events, right?
There's a list of the Orcus events. So, okay, regardless. So the Orcus is running, what's going to happen? Who's going to win in these battles?
For the fate of, the world.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that makes way more sense now.
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, that scene makes way more sense.
Yeah. So all of these, the scene you see in the beginning, that hasn't really happened. It's just it's a simulation.
Okay. Yeah, and it's Wolverine and Kid Omega and Domino. Going to fight Nimrod.
Yes.
And not doing good.
Not doing good. They even send the Brood. They're like, basically, what can we do to battle?
Yeah, oh, okay. So this is just hyper-evolved danger room where you can run simulations of an elaborate nature. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, now, makes way more sense.
Now that we got that sorted out, brings us to Moira MacTaggert.
Yes.
This is where it gets real confusing.
Yeah.
But what's good about this, I thought, is if you haven't read anything in a while, it kind of just brings you right back to House of X, Powers of X. And they bring you to year 3 of Moira's life.
Her third life.
Her third life, yes. I'm sorry. Her third life.
Because she's had multiple lives because her mutant power is resurrection.
Right.
And I guess reborning the whole world.
Yeah, so every time she dies, she kind of resets.
The world itself. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So she, in this life, she has created a cure for mutant kind.
In the third reality.
In her third life. And it's kind of like a Days of Future Past kind of issue, So, in the third life, she meets Destiny, and Destiny and Mystique have teamed up, and Destiny's almost like a new Magneto, where she's like, this cannot happen, but she's...
Yeah, very just empowering of the mutant.
Exactly.
And I mean, her whole reasoning for killing her is because Moira says, it's just going to be a choice for who wants to use it, who wants to negate their powers, because some mutants get dealt way worse hands than others.
Yeah.
We all get that.
And we've seen this before with, Senator Kelly.
Yeah,
right?
But it's if you make a cure, I mean, Destiny's right.
Yeah.
They will use it to destroy them.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the only way. They'll do anything to stop the mutants. People are freaked.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to not be freaked someday, especially now that the mutants are hey, you know how we used to be, subordinate to you? We rule the world now, basically. They're it's our world, you are beneath us.
Right.
So, of course, people are going to be scared.
Exactly. So, she tells Moira, no, this is not going to happen, and to teach you this lesson, I will murder you. You only have 10 lives to figure this shit out, and I'm going to murder you in the worst way possible, burning you slowly to death.
Yeah.
Pyro, get it done.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, Pyro.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
He's like a jerk, but
yeah, this
is particularly heinous.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, in these next 10 lives, she gets a chance to get on their side. So, each life, she fails again and again. One time she allies herself with Magneto, she fails. She just allies herself with Xavier, she fails. It just happens again and again.
She's still trying to create a cure? Is that her, eternal mission?
So, the fourth life, she throws herself headfirst into the cause of mutant-human coexistence and once again pursues Xavier at Oxford. They become lovers. They go through what is implied to be a pre-House of X history of the X-Men before finally being killed by the Sentinels in a Days of Future Past, like, future. So she just, like...
So her fourth life is, like, the regular X-Men comics?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So none of that happened now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, a failing, like, each time. Till the 10th life, facing her last life, looking back of all of her experiences, because she remembers each time, too. That's, like, another part of her power.
Yeah.
She decides that in this timeline, she and Xavier will break all the rules. She meets Xavier in Oxford and tells him to read her mind, showing him all that she has done.
Oh, okay. So that's why they're so much more advanced, because
yes.
Way back in the day, in his early life, Xavier is given knowledge of everything mm-hmm. that's happened, which would include everything, like him getting killed by Scott and Scott becoming the Phoenix, or Jean becoming the Phoenix, or
right.
all of it. Or even just being paralyzed, right? Because he wasn't paralyzed yet, was he?
No.
And so that's prevented it. That's why he's walking. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yep. So everything changes in that life.
Yeah, including now there's gorilla scientists.
Yeah.
I was like...
Planet of the Apes has happened. It's so weird how everything changes.
This scene where gorilla scientists call up these two old ladies and are like, this code you sold us is bunk. Yeah. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, so they were in, I can't remember if it was Marauders or one of the other ones. I can't remember which comic they were in. There's just been so many X-Men comics.
There's a lot.
But those old ladies, they like collect the Krakoa flowers and are like, they're like botanists.
Oh, they're not mutants?
No, they're botanists.
Oh, okay.
They might be, I can't remember. But yeah, they're like this whole separate like pirate lady community.
Okay. I'm just like, it's just, all of this is cool. Like, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. I've got no problems with ape scientists.
Yeah.
More, please.
Yeah.
Why have a regular scientist in a comic? As far as I'm concerned. I just didn't know what is going on. Why are they buying code from them?
Right. Because they're pirate ladies.
Okay.
And they steal
and,
shit.
And they, oh, they stole the code.
They stole
oh,
the code. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Are these evil ape scientists?
That I do not know.
Wow.
Someone will have to answer that
I
for
us. I guess that's
we'll
for Inferno issue 2.
Right. They're probably, I'm guessing they're from another comic too, since the evil botanist ladies
are. I mean,
are
I assume
well.
It all is.
Yes. Things we do not know.
No. Moira running around dressed like April O'Neil.
That's what I thought, too! I was like, why is she dressed like April O'Neil?
Somebody came into the shop, it was one of the variant covers, and she's, like, standing. And mm-hmm. I had forgotten that Moira was such a big deal in it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, she's the only one standing around a bunch of dead people. And I was like, why is April O'Neil, like, lording over all the mutants? They're like, that's Moira McTaggart?
Yeah,
duh. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know who she is. She was just...
She's like, why is she dressed like
the Irish
that?
Lady.
Yeah. Yeah, they really, that yellow coat, man, that makes her really look like April.
Is she still Irish? Was she Irish?
Yes. Or,
like, I thought they met her in Ireland in the old X-Men comics.
Scottish?
Maybe she, I don't know.
That's a Scottish name.
I apologize to all the McTaggarts out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so where are we? Moira and Magneto and Professor X, they're all concocting this, like, big plan in Inferno. We're back at Inferno.
Yeah.
Since we got to the apes and the botanist ladies.
And all some right. crazy mission that's going on there. We don't really know what's going on.
Right. No one knows what's going on. Thanks,
Maybe.
Hickman.
Maybe.
But yeah, they're definitely concocting some big crazy plan. It's about, like, the seats in the house that they have.
Yeah,
they got to get Mystique out of the plans.
The quiet council?
Yeah, the quiet council, right. Okay. And they're trying to get Mystique, like, off of the quiet council.
Yeah, because she's, I mean...
Because she's partnered with Destiny, and Destiny can kill Moira. That's
in like the previous reality, but right. is she partnered with her in every reality? I know I'm asking you questions
yes.
that you may not have answers to. I'm not expecting
right, answers. Right. I just know that Moira doesn't want Destiny to have control over her anymore.
Got it. Well,
that's what I do know.
That seems fair.
Mm-hmm. And they're definitely going to double cross her. This is what I do know.
They're going to double cross
Mystique and Destiny. Yeah,
yeah.
They just want to And this becomes clear towards the end of the issue as well. We get to see some cool stuff with Bar Sinister. He's the one who contains... He has basically all of the DNA. He holds all of the DNA for every single mutant so they can regenerate.
Which guy was that?
Bar Sinister.
Who was that one?
Sinister.
Oh, Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
His first name's Bar.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought he was Mr. Sinister.
Right.
Because he's funny.
Yeah. And so he, because of his power, he's the one who can, because he can regenerate.
Yeah.
You know, always. So he holds everyone's DNA.
Weird.
That's his deal.
And seems dangerous.
Yeah.
Because his last name is Sinister.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, like, if he wants to be a part of everything, that's...
Yeah,
everyone has their, like, deal on Krakoa, you know.
Things have changed, I understand.
Things have changed.
The Apocalypse sits at the table, or right. Did.
Yeah, I think he still does. So, yeah, back to this. Then we got Cypher and Warlock. They are the heads of, like, the tree. The big tree that is, like, the home of Krakoa, basically.
Yeah. The island, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're
like the center of the island.
Two islands. Like, Krakoa had a secondary part to it. There is so much crazy
there is
stuff
a lot.
Going on.
All right. But this is where they meet. This is like, yeah. This is where they all have their meetings. We know that.
By the giant sentient tree, the Deku tree for you Ocarina of Time fans out there.
We're trying to keep this simple.
Yeah. This is me trying to make sense.
Okay. I hope you're all still following.
Yeah.
All right. So, Cyclops, for whatever reason, decides he's going to step down from his position. He's older. I don't know why he's older. You can just regenerate your body, Cyclops. You're such a pussy.
Yeah. I don't know why he's doing that. But yeah, he's like, I'll stay a captain.
Right.
For my people.
Uh-huh. But he doesn't want to be a part of the team anymore, like the X-Men team. Right?
Yeah. So, or did it mean that he's not... Is that what that meant? Or
I think
so. I thought he was stepping down from his position on the, like, council.
Oh.
And he's just going to be team captain.
Oh, is that what it meant? Okay, so
that's
he's stepping down from his seat?
I guess.
Okay, I didn't know which one it was. It was like, are you not going to be, like, a part of the team, or are you just going to step down? Okay, well, whatever. I guess that would make more sense, because they were talking about how they needed two seats, right?
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Sure. They need two seats for whatever plan they're hashing out to get rid of... to get Destiny and... Oh, that makes sense. I guess Destiny on the council for now.
And then they make Bishop
right.
His job.
Yes.
What, cool.
Okay, yeah, good. Get Bishop on there.
Bishop's cool. Where's he been? He was, like, gone for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, and he looks so different. He's got some fancy new scarf on.
Yeah,
he's got a haircut.
He's been working out less.
Yeah, he looks less big. Storm's super happy about it.
He's not dressed like... a train conductor?
No, not just like a train conductor.
Yeah, that was his outfit. His outfit was modeled on Gary Coleman.
Yeah,
on a magazine cover where he's dressed like a train conductor. He's wearing the exact same outfit.
Well, he's looking pretty fancy.
Yeah, he looks like a contemporary person.
Very dapper. All right, and something about Psylocke, too. She's also there now. Like, Emma Frost is pissed off about it. Ileana is defending them. Cool.
And then
Emma Frost is
always
pissed
off.
And they're going to go drink on Madripoor. Good choice.
Okay. We got the council here.
Okay.
We can look at it.
Right.
We got Professor X. Mm-hmm. We got Magneto.
Yep.
We got Mr. Sinister. Mm-hmm. Ooh, don't know who that is with the yellow.
Yeah, I can't see that person.
Mystique.
Right.
Kitty.
Oh, that's Kitty. Good. Yeah,
okay,
Kitty.
Cool.
We got Emma Frost.
Emma Frost.
Black Tom Cassidy.
Yeah.
Right?
Nightcrawler. Or Sebastian.
Oh, wait, no. Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian
that's right.
Shaw.
Sebastian Shaw.
Sebastian Stan. Also Marvel related.
Also Marvel.
Could have been a good Sebastian
it's
Shaw.
It's really hot in here.
Yeah. Nightcrawler and Storm. And then there are two empty seats, which, you know, is what they're actually talking about.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so Cyclops has stepped down, and who did they get rid of besides Cyclops?
Maybe there was a position open from before.
Sure.
I don't know. But
all
there's
right.
two seats vacated.
There's two seats vacated. And now we get the big reveal of what they've been planning, sort of. And Mystique is like, let's do it. Here we go. I'm all for bringing in my person. And everyone's like, ooh.
And they're like, no, that's not the right time. Yeah. It's not the right time for this.
Except that's exactly what they were planning the whole time.
Professor X and Magneto are super shady.
Yeah.
I love that the comic does have them being equally shady now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, before it was like, the guy who trains the teenagers to fight wars for him is a good guy.
Oh, yeah. And now he's just like, he's always like up to something.
Yeah, it's manipulating
people. Why wouldn't they know that? Like, he's like the most telepathic person.
He reads
your mind all the time.
He's been manipulating you all.
Logan,
I got to be nice to this guy. Oh, Gene, I got to empower this person. Oh, Scott, right. I need to like make him. He's been telling people exactly what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they bring in Destiny. Right. Who's a very scary person.
Yeah, she has a metal face with no features, really. Yeah.
So you have no idea what she looks like under there.
Or is that her face?
Maybe it is her face. Maybe it's literally just, like, molded to her face. Like, actually, who knows? We don't know.
I wish they would be a little bit crazier with it, where it's like, your mutant power is you can see the future and your face is metal.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I don't really know how they're getting past her, like, how Charles and Magneto think they're going to get past her, because, like, she sees the future. How did they not know that she doesn't know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's all a game of chess.
It is.
I mean, I think all the X-Men comics are kind of like, that can be the metaphor here. It's just this weird chess match that's being played for, you know, like, control of the world.
Right. And this is, I mean, the whole point, I don't know why they're just not, like, all trying to work together, is to fucking defeat Nimrod, who's bringing, like, those big, so, alien guys to come eat everybody. That was, like, the whole thing in House of X. They're, like, those, like, black guy, they're, like, those black alien things that just, like, devour everything. That was the whole thing in House of X, Powers of X.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I vaguely remember. I remember Nimrod.
Yeah.
See, I don't know.
Okay. And that was us terribly explaining Inferno number one.
Yeah, that was chaotic, but that's really kind of chaotic. What's going on in my brain.
Yeah.
Also, everyone, I would just like to read this definition, because this is how I interpret X-Men comics. Aloof, an adjective, not friendly or forthcoming, cool and distant.
I think that also is a very good description of the new Professor X.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a nice guy anymore, really, or a warm guy.
Yeah, part of it is that new helmet.
Yeah, he looks freaky.
Yeah. Oh, also, mentioning in the beginning, too, is Emma putting on Professor X helmet as he, like...
Is reborn,
yeah. And she's like, to me, my X-Men. Yeah. So is she just, like, killing everybody and, like, taking over? Possibly.
I don't know. Or is she just, like, do they need a telepath to awaken people?
No, she's definitely doing something nefarious there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, so she's elsewhere maybe cloning a Charles while there already is a Charles?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Something bad's going on there.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's always kind of bad.
She's a suspicious person. Yeah. Generally.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was our roundup this week.
Yeah. We talked about the death of Doctor Strange, Frontiersman, and Inferno.
Yep. Next time, we will definitely be talking about what's the furthest place from here. New number one. From our friend Matt Rosenberg and Tyler Boss. They sent us a preview copy, signed, and with a nice sketch.
Yeah.
And we'll also be doing an interview.
What a nice gift. And it looks cool about like an old record shop, right?
Yeah, yeah. Old record shop, teenagers, havoc.
Cool.
Whatnot. I haven't read it yet, so. But we're also going to be getting 7 inches, too.
Nice.
So that's going to be awesome.
That's fun.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
Do we want to talk What If briefly?
We have some stuff to talk about in the news. You want to get into What If first?
Sure, we can do that.
All right.
So the show I guess there's going to be 9 episodes total. Mm-hmm, the 8th episode is the one that just came out as of this recording. Mm-hmm. I think the last one comes out this Wednesday. But prior to it, every episode seemed to be its own standalone thing. And the latest episode breaks the mold and sort of connects multiple episodes.
Right.
To me, changing the whole fundamental nature of the whole show.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, is that how it's going to be? Little one-offs that lead to... The way I saw it, it was kind of like they did their own mini Avengers.
Right.
Where it's like, have your multiversal origin stories, and mm-hmm. then it's like the end of the season, bring everyone together.
Right.
Do a little, like, Avengers bigger than one multiverse universe story.
A little Avengers Assemble at the end.
Yeah, multiversal Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you haven't seen the last episode of our last week, then watch that first, and then listen to this.
Yeah.
So it was What If Ultron Had Won.
Yeah.
And they both, I'll start off by saying, they broke a lot of rules in that episode.
Sure. They always do in this show.
They do. Particularly, though, I'd like to get into the Infinity Gauntlet,
uh-huh.
Which I had some issues with.
What did he do?
So Ultron, you know, he takes control of the stone pretty quickly. So in the Marvel Universe, in both the Marvel Universe and the MCU, like the films and everything too, you cannot use the stones or gems.
Without a housing unit, right?
No, not that. You can't use it to control different dimensions.
Oh, that's like one of the rules.
That's one of the rules.
Oh, well, he definitely breaks that rule.
He definitely breaks that rule real quick.
Yeah, really quick. Yeah.
That's like the one thing. Like, you go to another dimension,
and
but you can't.
So those gems can manipulate all of the reality within that specific dimension. But
right.
The second you go to another dimension, which would be supported by Loki, in Loki, when they're
exactly.
just in a drawer.
Yeah.
So it's like, outside of their own dimension, they're useless.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they actually even show that in Loki, in the show, too, where they're just, like, sitting on that. And he's like, oh, I can't do anything with these. They're paperweights.
Yeah.
So
I never knew that was the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this episode's playing it pretty fast and loose with all that.
Yeah. And then also there's, like, a JLA Avengers crossover, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which Darkseid was prevented from using the Infinity Gauntlet. Because he comes from a different dimension.
Ha ha.
A reality, yeah.
Love when they stick it to that guy.
Yes. Fuck you, Darkseid.
The only guy that when he walks in a room, Superman punches him in the face without any words.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was a little weird, but that they did that. And they weren't, you know, but...
But it was
fun. The internet kind of went crazy about it. But it was super fun. It was a really good episode.
Yeah, he houses them in his own body.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he is Vision,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, they made that nanobot glove. So
right.
It's like, why does it have to be a glove? I don't think it has to be a glove.
No.
It's not the Infinity Glove.
Could it just wore like a crown? That would have been cool.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, because he has that one in his head already. Just
I don't like how he has the face under his face.
No, it was weird.
It's creepy, though.
It was creepy. Yeah.
But I do love Ultron. I mean, I hate that it's not James Spader.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But to me, he's one of my favorite pieces of the MCU. Like, the casting of James Spader as Ultron. That movie's like, oh, I don't hate it. Like, people seem to hate that one.
I don't know
something.
Why people hate that movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah, like, I think it's a good one. But I think even better than the movie itself is, like, just James Spader as Ultron. Like,
right, yeah.
He's so bratty and just evil and charismatic. It's just so good.
Yeah, I definitely missed him in that casting. I don't know why they couldn't bring him back. What's he doing?
Yeah, how expensive is James Spader to be like, James, you can do it in one day.
He's still in that, like, was that show called The Blacklist?
Yeah. We only need 6 hours of you sitting down to record your vocal lines, if that,
if
James.
That. Yeah, two episodes? Come on. They're like a half an hour long.
I don't know. They've been weird with the voice acting in the show in general.
Yeah.
Tons of them are not the people, and then some of them will be. I get it, the actors who have left.
Yeah.
It is somewhat amusing to me to hear the guy doing the Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so bad. Well, you know. Like, it's just like he's just doing the cartoonish version of it. I don't know.
Sounds like, was that dog? Dopey the dog? No. what's the cartoon dog? Droopy? Droopy. Well, sometimes he sounds like yeah. Droopy.
Oh, yeah, 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 super yeah, yeah, weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Droopy and his son.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just thought that episode was super fun and cool, and how it broke like the reality of the show itself.
Oh yeah.
My guess for the next episode, because it, you know, it always starts with the Uatu explaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start with Ultron.
Oh yeah.
Doing the like what if intro, but Ultron
that
version.
That would be really cool.
I think it has to, because he takes the Watcher out and sort of takes his position in. As, like, in that place, wherever right. that place is, that can see all of realities.
Yeah, and because the Watcher is hiding with evil Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I loved as well.
Yeah, and so that fun. That's the connection, right?
Right.
Because that, prior to this episode, I mean, these are my two favorite episodes. It's like the death of, or what if Doctor Strange lost
his heart
instead of his right. hands?
Yeah.
That was, like, the best one. And probably yeah. still the best, like, standalone episode.
I agree,
there.
Yeah.
But this one is also just, was... super cool in like a Marvel Comics, like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's like a Dragon Ball Z battle, basically. Like, right. Uatu's like shooting like laser beams and it goes psychedelic as hell and yeah. he's fighting Ultron in like mm-hmm. another dimension. It's like, yes.
Yeah.
I want this.
And they drew from some of the Marvel Comics that have come out in the last few years, too, because there's like, what if the Watcher's eyes had been stolen? And it was kind of like that, yeah. too. They drew some of that Jason Aaron stuff, too, which was really fun. Because, like, the Watcher, you never see him do anything, really. No, he's always he's watching.
Yeah.
Until his eyes get stolen.
Yeah, or he, like, kind of whispers in people's ears, like, hey, don't do that.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be doing this, but don't do that.
Don't do it. It's a bad idea. Yeah. And I watched the episode right before that, too. I watched them back to back because I didn't even realize I had missed one. The Thor episode.
Party Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, which was fun with Party Loki, too.
Yeah.
Like, where they're like,
what's
best
up,
buds.
Bro?
Yeah, until he, like, leaves him in the dust.
I mean, that's kind of a message about, like, your party friends, right?
Right.
It's like, are your party friends your real friends?
Right.
You know, sometimes. Sometimes no.
Nope.
Sometimes they're the worst people
that
you know.
Because he's a giant ace. Giant.
Mm. Yeah.
Probably not going to be a good guy.
He doesn't care about people.
Nope. But I thought that was a pretty good episode as well.
Yeah, no.
It was just fun.
It's mostly been pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I do look forward to it. And I'm more interested in like what this show can be.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know they're immediately willing to like just mix it up. It's like...
Break the rules.
Yeah. It's like... Because I was just thinking, oh, we'll get a part two to Captain Carter, and then we'll get a part two to some of the more interesting ones, and then they'll make new ones. But it's like, no, and they can meet now. They can be inter... And it's like, that's what I am assuming. We're going to get a Star-Lord, a T'Challa Star-Lord,
mm-hmm.
meeting Captain Carter,
mm-hmm.
meeting maybe Party Thor,
right.
meeting, I don't know, the Nick Fury...
Oh, yeah, Nick Fury.
The Nick Fury where all the Avengers are dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. But, like, it seems like they're going to meet some of them, and they're going to have to team up to destroy, you know, Multiverse Ultron.
Right.
Infinity Ultron or whatever.
Infinity Ultron. That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, fun stuff.
So, some news. Apparently, we're getting a Punisher reboot. So everyone was super sad when all of the Netflix shows got canceled. I know I was. My favorite was definitely, I guess, I love Daredevil too, but I love The Punisher. I thought that one was probably the best one. Just because Jonathan Bernthal is literally the best Punisher.
He seems pretty, like, actually scary. I mean, I'm sure he's not in real life, like, but he plays, like, actually, like, I don't want to be in a room with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, sort of vibe pretty well.
Yeah.
He was that in Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I just saw him in The Saints of Newark, and he's great in that as well.
Yeah.
Just because he's, he's still going to be a good mafia guy.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's great.
And yeah.
Yeah, people were, but you're saying it's a reboot.
Yes.
Is it him?
It is him.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So, he has been recast.
In Disney's?
In
The Punisher.
Disney's The Punisher. So, it's not going to be on Disney+, but it is going to be on Hulu. So because Hulu is still picking up all of the other shows that Disney Plus doesn't want.
Yeah, Disney owns 2/3 of Hulu.
Right.
So anything they can put on their platform, they'll do that. But if it's R-rated or just something that doesn't fit the Disney Plus platform, it goes onto Hulu, where they still make 2/3 of the profit.
Exactly.
Instead of 100%.
So it looks like we might first see him in the Moon Knight series, which will...
Whoa.
Yeah, which is also going to be on Hulu.
So we're getting cross-platform streaming integrated shows.
Yes. Crazy. Oh, wait, maybe it is... No, I'm sorry. This will also be on Disney Plus. So, yeah.
Punisher. Weird.
No. Oh. The Moon Knight series. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Which will not be R-rated, but Punisher will be R-rated. So, yeah, they're just going to tone it down a little bit. Tone down his.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things where it's like, it's okay if one of the darker characters shows up. If, as long as you maintain when their stories are happening, they can be the tone that they need to be.
Right.
Like, because, you know, it's like, the Punisher kind of should only be in a, like, the Max books, or that they used to call him, or whatever, like the dark line, right?
Yes.
He shouldn't have a regular Marvel book. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
He's killing people,
and I think Moon Knight should kind of be in that as well.
Yeah.
But apparently, and that's why I thought Moon Knight was also going to be on Hulu. But yeah, apparently Moon Knight's going to be on Disney Plus. So yeah, I'm guessing that his reboot won't be as scary on Disney Plus. He's not going to be murdering people left and right with Moon Knight.
I just think of like the third Punisher movie, Punisher Warzone, and there's like that the scene where he's like in this room with all these like mob bosses, and it like he points the gun at him, and he's having this whole scene where he's talking to the guy, and you think it's going to cut. And it just doesn't. And he shoots him, like, in the same shot you've been looking at for, like, ever. And it was super horrific.
Oh, yeah.
We're not getting any of that.
No, we're definitely not getting that in the Moon Knight series.
Ever again.
Well, no. But, yeah, like, the Ellis Moon Knight series, and even the Jeff Lemire one, that's pretty violent. So, and it's, like, all about, like, him losing reality. Because, you know, he has split personalities. Yeah. But yeah, I guess they're gonna tone it down probably for Disney+.
Push the boundaries of PG-13, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. So yeah, it looks like that's gonna be where we see him first. There's no date yet for any of this. And they're also not gonna be picking up where Netflix left off, but I guess begin anew.
You get to watch his family get murdered again.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Just what I wanted. Can't wait. Whole new origin.
I don't know how much you need of that. They probably won't do that
I
part.
I hope not. Like, we don't need to do another origin story. Like,
no,
we've seen it.
It'll be like
we
the
know.
Spider-Man thing. Where we don't... Because the MCU Spider-Man, there's Uncle Ben. The words Uncle Ben have never even been said.
Really?
I don't think so.
No, they have.
He has?
For sure. Yeah.
In that first one, he doesn't even talk about Uncle Ben in Homecoming.
Yeah, they definitely mention him, though, at some point.
He just, like, looks away sadly. He's like,
right.
After what happened.
There's a tear. A single tear drops from his eye.
Yeah.
From great power comes great
Well, it is
power.
Sad, okay.
It is sad. Poor Ben.
And I love Frank.
Yes.
I just want to see, like, you know, Frank Castle be able to be Frank Castle.
Absolutely. And, yeah, like I said, I was really sad when they canceled all of those shows.
But
God
they might be
it,
coming
Netflix.
Back, you know.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox's arms are maybe in that trailer. Maybe he's Spider-Man's lawyer.
Oh, my
he's
God.
Gonna be in the, he should be in the She-Hulk show. Come on.
There's also, yes, he should definitely
he
be
He should
in that
definitely
show.
Be. Like, I want to see the Daredevil versus She-Hulk episode.
Ugh,
and there's no superhero
that's
fighting.
That's such a good issue, too.
But the, no superhero fight.
They should
just
be battling
it
out.
In court, arguing.
Yeah. That's what that show should be. It's just the courtroom drama.
And then both of them each know.
Hate that so much.
You know, she has to know that he's really Matt Murdock or Daredevil.
Well, in the comics, she's defending superheroes.
Yeah.
So, well, how does that work? Is he defending superheroes too?
I don't know.
Who's the prosecutor?
Is it just
civil cases?
I don't know. This is all very technical stuff. I don't know.
Okay. Moving on, big shout out to the friend of the store and local writer, Phenom Gene Yang. He is getting a Disney Plus series with Shang Sorry, Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings. I'm messing this up. Director.
It's hot in here.
It is hot in here. Destine. Is that how you say his name? Destine? Daniel Creighton. That is
Yeah. Director of Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. Legend of the Ten Rings. Destine Daniel Creighton. For the series based on Jean Yang's acclaimed 2006 graphic novel, American Born Chinese.
That's pretty big.
It is really big news. He's going to get some of that sweet, sweet Disney money.
I'm realizing now, I have absolutely no comprehension of what Disney Plus has been doing that isn't Marvel or Star Wars stuff.
Well, now you know.
No, but I mean, like, have they been making shows before this? Like,
yeah.
Their own stuff?
The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, the Mighty Ducks was one of the Disney Plus ones? Okay.
I watched it.
Okay, I love Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
Got no problem with Emilio.
It was fun.
You know, Repo Man.
Yeah, they had like, you're right, Repo Man.
Go watch Repo
New
Man.
New Jack City. Is he in that?
I don't know. There's also the one where he's in with Charlie Sheen and they find the body.
Men at Work.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the band.
No. Okay, yeah. So American Born Chinese won numerous awards upon its release, including an Eisner Award for Best Graphic Novel. I think he also won the Newbery Award. Mm. He won a bunch of awards for that comic.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've sold, I can't even tell you how many copies of this book. It's ridiculous. Super, super excited for him. So if you're not familiar, with this graphic novel, it's basically about an average teenager juggling his high school social life with his immigrant home life when he meets a new foreign student on the first day of the school year. Even more worlds collide as Jin is unwittingly entangled in a battle of Chinese mythical gods.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I see why it's a Disney Plus
right.
show.
It should be, it should be really fun. And yeah, this is like the first time they've kind of gone out of like just the Marvel and Star Wars stuff, I think, like, and gone in for comics, I mean.
Oh, yeah, Adapting, you know, actual graphic novels.
Right, exactly.
Not things called graphic novels.
Yeah. So that's super exciting. I hope we get to talk to Gene about it soon, though I'm sure he's very busy.
Congratulations, Gene.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? I think that was it, except for stuff that I've watched this week that I wanted to talk about. I started Midnight Mass on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Do you know that?
I don't know.
Okay. That's the guy, Mike Flanagan. He did The House. The Haunting of Hill House. I always want to call it The House of Haunting
Hill. Oh, the show.
Yeah.
The show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Haunting of Hill House, The House on Haunted Hill.
There's
a lot of us.
And the Haunting of Bly Manor. He did that one, too.
To make it easier, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, this is his newest show on Netflix. It's basically about, like, a small town, small, like, fishing town that, like, gets like decimated and by like a oil company, and so there's like barely anybody left in the town.
Okay.
And they have like a very like religious community, and this father goes away. That's like, you know, been like the preacher basically the entire like town's life. Like he's like a billion years old, and he goes away like on a retreat or whatever. He was like supposed to come back like during the winter, and instead this like very young like handsome preacher comes back in his place and like kind of takes over, and all these miracles start happening.
In this terrible the town that has been ravaged.
It's been ravaged, yeah. And so it kind of like starts from there, and all these like creepy things start happening and stuff. And it's really, really good. I recommend it. Cool. I don't want to like spoil anything, because if you like say anything about it, like
That's an original show.
It's an original show. Okay. Yeah. So Midnight Mass on Netflix, good for the spooky season. I just watched another horror movie on Netflix. They're like literally releasing every Sunday like a shit ton of horror stuff.
Cool.
For the season. No One Gets Out Alive. Basically about a migrant woman from Mexico, low on cash, finds refuge in a boarding house in Cleveland. Instead of finding her American dream, she wakes up in a living nightmare she cannot escape.
Yeah, sounds pretty scary.
I wrote that, by the way.
Oh. Well, nice.
Because I hated, like, what they wrote for, like, the description on IMDb. It was terrible. It's super, super scary. Reminded me a lot of like, a Guillermo del Toro, like, creature stuff, like, towards the end. Great ending, too. Sure. Which is hard to do in new modern day horror.
That's
movies.
Just a movie.
Yeah, it's just a movie. Cool.
Not just a movie.
Not just a movie. A horrifying movie.
not a 14-hour experience.
No, yes. Definitely not. So yeah, those are the two horror things I wanted to mention. I'll just be watching horror stuff all month long.
Oh yeah, same.
Yeah.
But old things probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched Miss 45.
Sweet.
Have you seen that?
Is that... Oh, no, I'm thinking of Love in 45. It's Miss 45.
Miss 45 is pretty intense. Mm-hmm. It's this woman who... She's mute. She works in the garment district. It's a Abel Ferreira film.
Okay.
Director of Bad Lieutenant and many other exploitation movies. This is an exploitation movie, but pretty horrific. She's raped twice and then goes on... A rampage.
So a revenge.
And kills only
revenge movie.
Only men. She's only killing men. Mm-hmm. It's a 1981 film. But, like, I'd say it's probably my favorite of that, like, genre.
Okay.
Because it's just, there's so much, like, all the kills are like, yes, you're, like, so stoked that it's happening. And when it's supposed to be scary, it is really genuinely freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And also not super exploitative
in a
way. You know, like, I've seen other movies where it's... This isn't irreversible or something.
Ugh.
You know, you're
it's well, that's not, like the worst of all of them.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Well, of course, I don't think anyone will ever do that, ever go beyond that in cinema.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not fun, nor is that intended to be fun. This movie is intended to be fun on some level.
Yeah.
Even though that obviously is just pure horror.
Yeah.
Great movie though. Yeah. Absolutely, and it's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's free on. One of the streamers, Peacock maybe?
Peacock.
Or Tubi.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot of, there's been a lot of cool movies on there.
I can't watch those because they have commercials.
No, this didn't have commercials.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That's and also when I watched American Werewolf in London on Peacock, I was like, oh man, Peacock's got commercials. It gave me a minute and a half of commercials, and then it said, your movie will be ad-free.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. So,
it was great to rewatch that movie.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Just hysterical.
I could just rewatch that at any time. It's such a good movie.
I'd only seen it once.
Ugh.
It is so good.
So good.
So good.
Best werewolf
People
transformation.
Who are listening, if you have never seen An American Werewolf in London, watch that 40-year-old movie. It is so good.
Always holds up.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely
good.
One of my favorite werewolf movies ever.
I mean, just madness.
Other
hilarious.
Great, oh, yeah. Other great werewolf movies that you might not have seen. Ginger Snaps. Yeah. Great werewolf movie. Great werewolf transformation. It was like super low budget. Don't ever watch the sequels. But, yeah, another good transformation that you would like never know that movie was made for like, you know, $200,000 or something like that. And you're like, how?
Yeah.
So good.
I love a good werewolf story.
Yeah, as long as it's good.
Yeah, or kind of funny and
kind of
good.
Funny. Yeah, both of those are like kind of funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, and have good transformations and are a little scary too.
Yeah. The wolf stuff is pretty freaky still and pretty effective in that one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And just ludicrous.
And The Howling is another one, obviously. Classic.
Joe Dante. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, those would be the werewolf movies we recommend this week. Maybe we'll do vampires next week.
Yeah. And more werewolf movies that we, if we think of them.
Yeah. All right. That's been the Escapist Comics Podcast this week. I'm Jessica Belloni.
I'm Robert Neguesco. Even though, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all those things are down right now.
I think
right?
It's back up now.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, but it was like all day. It might still be fucked up.
$6 billion he lost in 4 hours.
Ha! That's great.
It literally dropped him a tier of the, like, he went from like fifth to sixth richest person in the world.
That's so funny.
Just from like 4 hours of Facebook and Instagram being offline.
Well, yeah, and there's all that shit, that court shit he like went through too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think it was like piled on top of each other. So.
I guess
take
they're
that,
back.
Zuck.
Follow us.
Don't suspend
there.
My account.
Yeah. He's a listener.
He is a listener.
He's got the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And remember,
escape into comics.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.